Because I'm going to make a not going to make no excuses.
All
right. Are you with me?
Amen.
All right, so we got the message. We can almost shout all the way to the altar now.
Yeah.
I'm an overcomer. Ever since I've been changed, I've never been the same. Anybody have a testimony? He healed me.
Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed. Lord, if I bless you.
When you can go and see yourself and nobody else sees you. When you see how you were last night or how you were this morning, can we say go deeper? You need to go deep and consider your ways. He said, therefore the heaven over you is stained from him, from dew, and the earth stained from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the land. He said, everything in your hands has been messed up. He said, God said, I haven't changed. But when I bless you, the scripture said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And he had it? No sorrow. So if you got a lot of sorrow, can we say, consider your ways? Come on, can we say, consider your ways? Verse 12 says, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeying the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent them, and the people did fear before the Lord. Verse 13, in conclusion, then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying,
I am with you.
Lord, we bless your name. I am with you, said the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, hallelujah, for being in the house of the Lord one more time. Lord, we will request in the Lord a change. Lord, not just a surface change, but Lord, touch us in the name of Jesus. Touch us from the depth of our soul, from the inside outside. Lord, we ask you, O God, to break down the stony hearts. Lord, we ask you through the word, Lord God, to loose the deaf ears. Lord, we ask you to send the word to open the spiritually blind. Lord, today send the word, hallelujah, so that someone that came in bound can lose, leave free. Lord, we ask you to send the word, hallelujah, that someone that came in captive can be liberated in the name of Jesus. And Lord, send the word, and for this we thank you, can the church say in Jesus' name, amen, you may be seated. So let me just give you a little history for those that don't know the whole account. The actually, the history of this is in the book of Ezra from chapter 4 to chapter 6 of Ezra. So you read this to fill in the gap. But what happened is after the children of Judah went back from Babylon to Jerusalem. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had completely decimated Jerusalem. They had destroyed the temple and burned and tore down the walls. So after 70 years of captivity, God had already told his people when they went into captivity, he said, I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of peace, and not of evil to give you. And God said, Israel, I have a plan for you. Even though you might be going through hardship because of your rebellion, God said, I still got a plan. He said, after 70 years, you shall return to this place. So after 70 years, under Cyrus, and there's so much in there, under Cyrus, he allowed the children of Israel to go back into Jerusalem to rebuild the city. And if you want to know about Cyrus, read Isaiah, the 44th chapter, verses 24, through Isaiah, the 45th chapter, verse 1. Let me tell you about Cyrus, because God told them, even before they went into captivity, 150 years before Cyrus was even born, God said, I've called him by name. And for my people in captivity, he said, he's going to allow them to go back and to rebuild the city. So they go back with Haggai to rebuild the city. And when they go back, they start rebuilding the temple. If you read about it in the 4th chapter of Ezra, it says when they went back, that the children of Samaria, who originally were the Israelites, but when the Assyrians came in and took over Samaria, they brought back the Assyrians to put them into Samaria. So they weren't true Israelites, but that's why in the New Testament, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, because they considered the Samaritans to be half-breeds. All right, so they had no dealing with them. So when they went back and started building the temple, the Samaritans said, hey, we serve the same God you serve. Let us come down and Zerubbabel said, no, you have no portion in this. You don't serve the same God we serve. So because Zerubbabel wouldn't allow them to come back, the scriptures say they frustrated the people of God. They made their building difficult. They wouldn't allow them to build. So then they even sent back to Babylon and said, listen, you have a people here that's rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. They, in the past, they were rebellious people, and they caused you much harm. So the king sent back a message. He said, make them stop building. So after being back in Judah or Jerusalem for 2 years and building, they stopped building. Why did they stop building? Because man said. So then, they had been there for 15 years when God just handed out this message. I'm just filling in the gaps. That's why I say it's an interesting story. Read about it. So they have been there for 15 years. They start building, but they stop. They didn't stop because God said it. They stopped because man said it. So God had sent Haggai after 15 years of the temple being a waste. After 15 years of the temple not being resurrected or rebuilt. And what was so important about the temple? The temple is where they met with God. The temple is where God's presence was. So they didn't have God's presence. And they said, well, because they made us stop building, we just stop building the Lord's house and start working on our own house. Can we say praise the Lord? So after 15 years of not working on the Lord's house, God sends Haggai to them. And he said, thus saith the Lord thy God unto thee. He said, you're all concerned about your house. He said, but my house is then going to waste. He said, you're going into your sealed houses. He said, now listen, and let's go to verse six for a moment. Amen. Anybody feel like you've been working and the more you work, the less you can accomplish? Maybe we need to consider our ways. And then considering our ways, we need to say, Lord, I need a change. He said, I don't know who the songwriter was saying, it's a great change that has come over me. Does anybody want a great change? Not just a mediocre change, but a change to make me more than an overcomer. Can we say hallelujah? So he said, let's go to verse 5. He said, now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He said, I need you to take the heart. Listen, I don't want you to just give me just a surface look at it and say, well, I know things are bad. He said, no, I need you to sit down and contemplate. I need you to really consider where you are at now. He said, then if you can't figure it out by yourself, God said, I'm going to help you out. So verse 6 says, he said, you have so much, and you bring in. Anybody else say, Lord, if you can help me, help me get here, I'll be all right. And when you get there, it's still going to get you where you want to go. All right. Amen. You know, he's telling you, listen, in you considering your way, I need you to prioritize. You've been neglecting my house and building your house. I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody today. Have you been neglecting God's house and building your house? Amen. God said, well, if you've been doing that, you sow much and bring in little. He said, you eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, earneth it control your finances, then you need to reorganize or reprioritize. You need to get things in the right order. Lord, I need a change. I don't care if I've been saved for 100 years. God, I don't want to be the same year 101 that I've been for the other year, because you've been blowing on the stuff that ought to be blessed. All right, Lord, thank you. Now we're going to get to the point they didn't have a good excuse. But I told them, stop making excuses. But I heard the apostles say in the book of Acts, we ought to obey God rather than men. And I'm wondering today, I'm going to get back to this ninth verse in a minute, because I know all my critics like to say, you always start, don't finish. I'll get back. When I get ready, if I choose to, I might not go back. I might go back. All right. But in the book of Acts, the fifth chapter, they told them, stop preaching in this name. You can preach, but don't use the name Jesus. You can do anything, but don't use the name Jesus. Those apostles, after God delivered them from prison, he said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And I wonder today, how many of us in a messed up situation because we're not obeying God? Amen. We need to consider our ways. Let's listen. I don't have to expect your finances. I don't have to expect your finances, your personal life and situation. You already know. You already know. You know you need to change. Not just a lighthouse change. You know, like a lot of times they put a veneer on stuff. You know what a veneer is? It's one of those fake coverings. Right? All of us have had veneers. I moved one time, I had some veneer furniture. By the time we opened the back of the truck, it's something all falling apart because it was nothing but particleboard. That's veneer. It looked good on the outside. Well, has no substance on the inside. God has too many veneer saints. Y'all look real good on the outside. But when God inspects the inside, he said you're coming up short. You need to consider your way. I'm afraid that they in churches a whole lot of people messed up because they're obeying man rather than God. God has been speaking to you in your private situation. And some of us got a Job wife. A Job wife couldn't perceive what God was doing. And they give you bad advice. I'm so glad that the psalmist said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. Y'all don't see what? The man walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor standeth in the seat of the scorner. But his delight, Lord, I thank you. Anybody got to find a hiding place in the Word of God? But his delight is in the Word of God, and in his Word does he meditate? Oh, Lord, I need him. Help him. Lord, I need a blessing. I need you to do something for me. Hallelujah. He said, now, when you get it right, when you consider your ways and get it right, when you let God's Word be in you day and night, then he shall be like a tree that is planted by the river of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever. Anybody want a whatsoever? Oh my God, give me a whatsoever blessing. God, give me a whatsoever change. Whatsoever you do it shall prosper. That's when we get it right. That's when God gives us a real change. And listen, if I do anything to impress you, I already messed up. If I live my life to impress somebody else out here, the bishop, the chief apostle, anybody else, the only one that counts in this life is the apostle of our soul. And his name is Jesus. Whatsoever you're doing, working and doing, do it all in the name of Jesus. And God said, whatever you do for me, don't do it with eye service to be seen, but do it from the sincerity of your heart and unto the Lord. In the heart, there's a change that needs to take place. Hallelujah. You know, the old time, the praise the Lord touch me. Yes. I don't need you just to deliver me. Lord, touch me from the crown of my head to the sole own situation. He said, I need you to consider your ways. Consider your ways. You've been doing a whole lot, and the more you work, the less you have, God said, because you left me out. You haven't included me. If anybody else said, Lord, every time I seem like I get blessed, go forward one step, I go back 10 steps. Be honest. Now, we're not talking about a conceited person. Even when you messed up, you think it's good. A conceited person can be all messed up. Anytime, let me ask you. Alright, I'm going to go over this. You're going to stay with me. Go to James the first chapter. Let's go to James 1:21. Alright, let's go. I'm just trying to help you out. I want to change. Change has to first take place on the inside before it can be reflected on the outside. So many in church, they're changing on the outside. But Jesus said, when I look at you, you're nothing more than a sepulcher. You're pretty on the outside, but you're dead on the inside. Y'all with me? Well, God, I don't want to be white on the outside and dirty on the inside. I want to be clean all the way through. So James is trying to help us. He says that wherefore lay apart all. It's up there. All right, y'all help me. All what? Filthiness and what? Superfluity of godliness and what?
Receive.
You got to receive the word. Now people can't make you get it. He said, listen, I'm going to help you, but I can't help you if somebody got to make you do it. He's not going to help you, but you got to. You got to receive the word. Receive what? The engrafted word, which is. So a lot of people are trying to change, but people are trying to make you change. That'll never happen. Because you got to.
Receive.
You got to take it in for yourself. Yeah. Like I grew up my mom's salvation, that didn't help me. I grew up in my grandmother's church, that didn't help me. I didn't get a help till I received it for myself. Because when you receive the word, it's able to save your soul. Let's go to verse 22. Let's go to the next verse. It says this. But be ye. So when you receive the word, it can't just be something that you just put on the shelf. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
I'm going to receive God's word. He's going to be ye doers of the word. So why are we changing? Because we're just hearers of the words. We're not doers. And because we're not doers, we're doing what? That's a spiritually conceited person. Y'all know what? Spiritually conceited person said, I heard the word and church was good, but what did you do? What you heard. Amen? All right, let's go on a little further. Let's go to verse 23. I only got a couple more things. For if any man be a
hearer of the word.
If any man be a what?
Hearer.
And not a
doer.
He is like a man of what?
Behold,
he is
laid back.
All right, stop right there. In other words, in every English, you look in the mirror.
Yes.
Right? When you're just a doer and not a, when you're just a hearer and not a doer, you look in the mirror and that conceited you say, I'm all right.
Jesus.
That's conceited. Because it ain't the real you. Amen?
Amen.
He beholds his natural face in a glass and does what? Next verse says he does what?
He
does what? Goes his way and what?
Straightways the way he was.
That's conceited. Because you think you're all right.
Jesus.
But the word, you didn't receive it.
Yes.
You heard it. But it did not enter your spirit. The book of Hebrews said they all heard the same word. But the word didn't profit some of them because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But the word of God has to be received. If you don't receive it, no matter how much you purpose to change, you won't change. Because you hear the word, you look at yourself and think you're all right. Let's go to the last verse. But whoso?
What are
we looking at?
Perfect all the will
No, you are not right. You with me?
Amen.
All right, so I said, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and do what? When you hear the word and you are doing a word, you don't just do it on Sunday. Yo.
Amen.
All right, after church on Sunday, you got to do more than that. You got to continue. I did it on Sunday, and I did it on Monday, and I did it on Tuesday, and I did it on Wednesday, and I did it on Thursday, and I did it on Friday, and I did it on Saturday. I did it in my house. I did it on my job. I continue in the word. He said, be not a
forgetful
believer, but what? They're not doing
the
word. If there's a blessing in hearing and doing, because the Bible said, this man shall be
blessed
in his deed. So I'm afraid in church. Anybody want to be able to see the saint? Because see the saint, look in the mirror. See it themselves. And straightway go off and forget what manner a person they are. Because the word didn't find a lodging place in their heart. The word didn't change them. All right, I'm going to jump. Can I just jump a few more places for a minute? I know time is late, but I want to change. Anyone want to change?
Amen.
I've been coming to church too long and serving God too long to be where I was years ago.
Amen.
Amen. And that, let me just knock one away. Let's go to Jeremiah the 7th chapter. All right. I'm going to finish it in Jeremiah the 7th chapter. Actually, no, I'm going to finish it. Jeremiah 7 chapter. I'm going to finish Luke 14 chapter. But I will finish. All right. Because we are making excuses for not doing and being what God wants us to be. Can we say hallelujah? So let's go to Jeremiah the 7th chapter. All right. Jeremiah the 7th chapter. Trying to find it in my Bible books here. All right. Give me 1 minute. Because I'm going to show you the problem that Jeremiah was dealing with the people before they went into captivity. The problem was they were hearing, but they were not doing. And they were deceiving themselves and saying, you're all right. Jeremiah 7 verse 1 reads, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying,
stand in the
gate. And so listen, everybody that comes to church, I want you to address it. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house. And I want you to wait till they come in. I want you to get them before they get there. Because everybody come to this gate. Jeremiah, I want you to stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye Jews. And enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel.
Amen.
I hear the change. Amen. Amen your ways and your
Amen.
Any false God, anything that's not God, and walk after God whom ye ye know not, and then come and stand before me in this house. You've been living wrong, but you come to church, and that might be right. You've been doing all this. He said, everything I'm pleased with you. So God sent him to try to correct them. He said, stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. In this house, which is called by my name, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, says the Lord. God said, nobody else might not see you. Hallelujah. God said, but when you were there, I saw you. When you were doing wrong, I saw you. When you were thinking wrong, God said, I saw you and I knew it. Don't act like you've been so holy and then come to church and come up some praise the Lord. God said, don't come to my house and think you're all right. I believe it's in the book of Isaiah, the 59th chapter. He said, you act as though you do righteously when you come to God. You can't fake God out. That's a conceited person that think they can fake God out. Because when you're in front of the saints, you're like holy, holy, and glory, glory. But God said, when I build that to beneath, when I build that to fakeness, I mean, if God don't want no fake saints. If I'm going to live for God, I'm going to live all the way. I'm not going to come to church and try to impress you because you don't have no heaven or hell to put me in. That's why Jesus says, fear not him that's able to destroy the body, but you fear him who's able to destroy the body and soul in hell. All right, let me finish this because I don't want none of our visitors. James, you got to come back now. I did my grandma do me the I'm gonna meet my grandma girl and I said species is. I don't know what that means. But when I'm talking to her and she agrees with me, she goes. So somebody tell me. Right? But we want God, everybody just wanna change.
Yes.
Heaven is too real to play with God. Heaven is too real to play with God. Let me finish this up. Alright, it says, come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say we are delivered. In this house which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes. Behold, even I have seen it, says the Lord. Now skip down to verse 19. It says, do they provoke me to anger? God said, you're going through the motion that angers me. God said, I'm not impressed with your conceitedness. Way you're portraying yourself to others. He said, because I see the real you. Anybody want to see the real you? That's why I used to pray that prayer, Lord, help me to see myself as you see me. Can we say hallelujah? Do they not provoke themselves to the conclusion of their own face? Therefore saith the Lord of God, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, upon beast, upon the trees of the field, upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. God said, I'm not impressed. You haven't been doing what's right. You've been coming to church and everybody thinks you've been living right. God said, I'm not impressed. So everything surrounding your blessing, he said, I'm going to curse you.
Jesus.
I'm not going to let the rain fall. I'm not going to bless it because you've just been. They used to call them down south Jack Lane preachers. I don't know Jack Lane. They got Jack Lane saints too. Jack Lane, you see one thing, but you live in another way. God don't need no Jack Lane saints, and he definitely don't need no Jack Lane preachers. You got to live what you've been preaching and teaching. Thus says the Lord, verse 21 of hope. God, the God of Israel, put your offerings and your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not to your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. He said, but this one thing, how many of us want one thing? All God wants is obedience. Throw all the excuses out the window. God wants obedience. That's the only way we can change is if we are obedient. He said, but there's one thing, this thing I command in them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be. So if you don't obey his voice, But you were doing the wrong thing, because if you obey God, you'll be your God. Right? So your focus is wrong. If you lost heart in church because of other people, you haven't obeyed God. Because the scripture said, looking unto Jesus. You ain't supposed to be looking at nobody else but Jesus. Your eyes are supposed to be fixed on Jesus. So when you start looking around, you're disobeying him. God can't bless you looking around at everybody else. You got to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. If you obey my voice, I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in.
Always.
What ways?
Always.
Always that I commanded you that it may be. So the question is, how are we walking? Are we walking in obedience or disobedience? I know some of y'all say, man, I can't wait to get out of here. God will go, who you are? The word of God never turns into a void. So you try to block it out? You know, some people come to church and they go to sleep. God said, listen, I'm going to get through your sleep. I'm going to still put this word in your spirit. That's right. You sleeping, God said, it's coming in there. Then you go somewhere and say, whoo, where did that word come from? You were sleeping, but God put it in there. So the word of God never returns void, but it accomplishes what it pleases. So when you hear it, you might as well to do it. Because you can run and say, he didn't, I don't know, but you do. Verse 24, but they hearken not or incline their ear, but walk in the counsel and the imagination of their heart. God said, because you did not obey me, you did what you wanted to do. He said, you went and not
forward.
So anybody feel like your life should be going backwards instead of, you know, you obeying God? If you feel as though you're, listen, don't let people pat you on the back. I remember when I was out with a demon and bad as anything on my way to hell, I was talking to my friend and told him, you all right? I knew enough about church, but I wasn't all right. My private time, God is dealing with my spirit. I was in high school, but I knew I wasn't saved. I knew it wasn't right. They said, no, you're all right. You're a good ball player. That wouldn't get me into heaven. So listen, when you're serious with God, God will be serious with you. And in your private time, God is speaking to you. Anybody just want God to speak to you in my time? I don't need you to speak to in a crowd, because a crowd will make me hear a voice. It's not God's voice. But when I'm like Samuel, and I've been missing up all these voices, I've been hearing all these voices, and every time God speak to me, I went to this one or that one. They said, I ain't say nothing to you. That's God speaking. Somebody need to tell you to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant. Anybody just want to hear from God? Come on, man. Let me finish this. All right, so verse 27. Therefore shall thou speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not. I pray today that everybody answers this call. If God is speaking, right? Because this is what he says in verse 28. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation or a people that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Anybody ever had children? Anybody ever? Okay, let me help this way. Anybody ever was a child? I hope everybody was a child, right? My granddaughter said, Grandpa, God could just do this. God has to do this. Anybody, you ever had that rod that was on you a little bit? Thank God I didn't grow up in 1, 2, 3 and sit in the corner. 1, 2, 3 and sit in the corner. Have more kids in prison than messed up now. Because the Bible says it's all if you spare the rod. See, if you're beat, now you ain't supposed to kill them. If you beat them with the rod, the Bible says they will not die. That's life. Well, you say, do what you want to do. So in a few years, when you got to correct all the stuff you didn't do when they were young, when it was cute. Alright, let me finish this. Right. Said, nor receive correction. Truth is, perish. And it's cut off. If you want change, let God work from the inside. And I'm going to conclude in Luke the 14th chapter. Y'all forgive me for taking so long today. But I don't. put this on y'all's tab. Y'all don't like paying for it. This, I'm volunteering this time. Like all the rest of the time. But let's go to Luke, the 14th chapter. I'm going to go to the 14th chapter and the 16th verse. I believe this is what's wrong with church. We want to change, but we want to change on our own terms. And then when we change on our own terms, we begin to make excuses for why we can't do what God tells us to do. Lord, I want to change. But we have to stop making excuses. Luke 14, 16. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and made many. And sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all went. All what? Begin to agree. Don't make excuses. Judah had an excuse, but the king said stop, but God didn't say stop. So how do you know God overruled everything that man says? If God be for you, just in the right thing. Because he said, if God be for you, they all want to sin and begin to make excuses. The first thing, I brought a piece of ground and I must need go and see it. I pray he have the excuse. So he said, listen, you can't mess with my occupation. I ain't talking about nobody listening to you. But I just thought back then they lived based on the man. They paid tithes and offering based on the maybe if we go back to that, things be right. So what he was saying, listen, I gotta take care of my occupation first. I pray thee, have me. Then everybody know nobody goes to buy land without checking on it first. So they were making what? Excuses. The next thing, well, I go some yoke of oxen, and I must need go prove them. I pray thee, have me. He said, now listen, now you gotta understand, I bought the land, so I gotta have something to work the land. So I need you to excuse me so I can take care of my occupation so my family can eat. But it was an excuse. The last thing, I married a wife. I pray thee. So if it's not the occupation, then it's the relationship that causes us to make excuses. But God is not impressed with your excuses. Can we say praise the Lord? So let's just go down to the 24th verse. I'll tell you what God says about all those excuses that we've been making. He says, for I say unto you that none of those men that were made shall what? As we all sin. God said, I'm not impressed with your excuses. All the reasons you've been making up for why you can't, God says, I'm not impressed. I need you to consider your way. Then Jeremiah said, after you consider what you've been doing, how you've been living, I need to amend your ways and your doing. Otherwise, God said, I'm not impressed. For the church and the people of God, it's time for a change. Anybody want to change? Let's just acknowledge God. Just wait for years. God, I want to change. Listen, we're not impressing anybody. Lord, I need to change. When I look at my life, I can't even look forward into a future because I messed up my past has been. So Lord, I need a change. And then as I walk in my change, I don't want to make excuses. No gifts.